Somebody say amen. Let me take this time to greet you, saints, in the most precious name, in the name of the one who is the firstborn from the dead, the bright morning star, the lily of the valley, the son of Jesse, the son of David, the immutable God, the transcendent God, the omniscient God, the Alpha and the Omega, the author and the finisher of our faith, and his name is Jesus. There is no other name given unto us that we shall be saved. Only the name of Jesus. Through the name of Jesus, all knees shall bow and all tongues shall confess that Jesus is the Lord. With these words, I am just greeting you. Amen. I see familiar faces here. I see my elder there, Andrew. He was the assistant chairperson when I was a pastor in the East Rand. When East Rand was still East Rand then, he was an assistant secretary or chairperson. Again, I see Mr. Dlala right there at the back in the visitor. Amen. Also, I see familiar faces, the whole crew, Adventist World Radio crew. And I find myself here also. Lupondo, I was summoned by Zanele. I don't know how did I arrive here. I thought we agreed that we are going to do this thing on visual, but I found myself here at Tapio. And this crew is so powerful. Look at that beautiful, beautiful children's story that has been rendered by Tapio. And God has selected these men and women for this task at such a time as this. May the Lord bless you. You have Chuma here. We have Tapelo here, Lupondwana right here, and also Zanele. This crew is a blessing to us. And also Derek. And maybe if there are some that are here that I might not know, but we thank God. I've been sitting at the feet of Jesus from day one. Less is more. Now we are right here on day number 11. Day number 11. It's a celebration, in fact. We are going to celebrate together. When these guys right here, when they left, it reminded me of the ways of Christ that says they all forsook him and flee. So I'm alone right here. I'm alone here. It's okay. It's okay. It's okay. Without any further waste of time, let's sing, perhaps maybe for control. Let's do number 120. Let's do number 120 under the theme that says the movement of God. My sermon is short. I need only just 2 hours. Then we'll be done. An impression without expression leads to depression. If I don't express myself, I'll be depressed. It's for the first time to be here during divine service. The last time I was here, we were recording for the visual camp meeting. I think it was 2022. We were using this church to record our sermons. I was right here with Elder Kalin, with Sipho Kalin, recording for the camp meeting that we were that we uploaded on How TV. So that was the last time I was here. But now I'm right here. By the grace of God, we shall move together. The theme says, the movement of God. I am the director of publishing, Voice of Prophecy, and Spirit of Prophecy. I cannot begin the sermon without sharing our vision. We have the book that we are distributing, The Great Controversy. And I will come here on the second week of March. The second week of March, I'll be here to promote publishing Voice of Prophecy and the Spirit of Prophecy. So I've confirmed that with Utakalo that I will be here in March, on the second week of March. The story is told of the athlete that was joking in the morning. He was joking, and while he was joking on the street, he saw the dogs. The dogs were fighting while he was observing, while the dogs are fighting, the dogs were pulling a book on their mouths. So another dog was pulling on this side, another dog was pulling on this other side. Then the athlete stops and he says, let me not disturb these dogs because they might chase him while he's jogging in the morning. So he decides to chase the dogs. He realizes that the dogs were pulling a book when God said, remember. Someone received a book and threw it into the dustbin. Now, in the dustbin, someone threw a spilled soup on the book in the dustbin. This is a true story shared by a guy in Angola while we were attending the training. So while he was chasing the dogs, he picks the book and he discovers that the book is not damaged, but it was just a spilled soup outside on the cover. The athlete took the book and he went home. He started reading the book from chapter 1 to the last chapter. After that, he says, I'm not going to work. I'm going to finish this book when God said, remember. He reads the book and then he discovers the Sabbath in the book. Then he tells his wife, he says, I'm not going to work today. Why are you not going to work? He says, I found this book. It was actually the dogs were fighting for this book. I picked it on the street. Then the wife also read the book. Both of them, they discovered the Sabbath. So they wrote an article. They wrote a missionary story that says, we were convicted by the two dogs. So the couple that was convicted by the two dogs. I want to say, friends, as we are distributing the book, The Great Controversy, if you don't distribute it, the dogs will distribute it. If you are not ready to share the book, the dogs will share the book. Let us all participate in sharing the book, The Great Controversy. We are pushing that project. Friends, let us participate. The dates, we have communicated the dates. We are going to communicate the dates when the book shall be distributed in the TOC. Amen. I heard, Chuma, that when you were here, the sermon was about 1 Samuel. Also, we are in 1 Samuel chapter 4. I'm not going to talk about Hannah this time. 1 Samuel chapter 4, read with me 1 Samuel chapter 4 under the topic that says the movement of God. We are going to journey together in this chapter, in this narrative. 1 Samuel chapter 4, I'm going to read it in your hearing from verse 1 through verse 8. I'm going to do historical analysis in this sermon. That is a biblical preaching. So the points will be coming from the sermon. We are going to build our application from the sermon. This is what I've been doing in the past 10 days. Taking a chapter, bringing the application out of the narrative. This is not a textual sermon, it's topical biblical sermon. Now we are in 1 Samuel chapter 4. Read with me. And the word of Samuel came to all Israel. Now Israel went out to battle against the Philistines and encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines encamped in Aphek. Verse 2, then the Philistines put themselves in battle array against the Israel. And when they joined battle, Israel was defeated by the Philistines, who killed about 400 or 4,000 men of the army in the field. Verse 3, and when the people had come into the camp, the elders of Israel said, why was the Lord defeated us today before the Philistines? Let us bring the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord from Shiloh to us, that when it comes among us, it may save us from the hand of our enemies. Verse 4, so the people sent to Shiloh that they might bring from there the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord of hosts, who dwells between the cherubim. And the two sons of Eli, Hophni and Phinehas, were there with the Ark of the Covenant of God.
And when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly that the earth shook. Verse 6. Now when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, they said, "What does the sound of this great shout in the camp of Hebrews mean?" They understood that the Ark of the Lord had come into the camp, the movement of God. So the Philistines were afraid. So they said, "God has come into the camp." And they said, who to us, for such a thing has never happened before. Who to us, who will deliver us from the hand of these mighty gods? These are the gods who strike the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. Verse 9, for control, be strong and conduct yourselves like men, you Philistines, that you do not become servants of the Hebrews. As they have been to you, conduct yourselves like men and fight. Come with me, come with me, come with me to chapter 5, verse 1. Then the Philistines, chapter 5, verse 1, 1 Samuel 5, verse 1, we are going to do juxtaposition. Chapter 5, verse 1. Then the Philistines took the Ark of God and brought it from Ebenezer to Ashdod. When the Philistines took the Ark of God, they brought it into the house of Dagon and set it by Dagon. Chapter 6, verse 13. Now the people of Beth Shemesh, they were harvesting the wheat. So they looked up, they saw the Ark of the Lord, and they rejoiced. May the Lord always bless the reading of his word. Amen. When you look at the context of the chapter that we have just read, there was a political crisis. There was a social crisis. There was a spiritual crisis. Now, I've said three things now. When you read 1 Samuel chapter 4, there was a political crisis. The Philistines were fighting the Israelites. Number two, there was a social crisis. A young prophet has just been appointed into the office. He was neglected. There was a social crisis. Number three, there was a spiritual crisis. The Israelites, they made the object of worship God. So these are the three things that we pick from this chapter. There was a political crisis. There was a social crisis. There was a spiritual crisis. Come with me. Friends, allow me quickly to say, you are not fit to testify if you have not been tested. Allow me also to say, that test is preparing you for the testimony. Again, allow me quickly to say this footnote, that fire is not meant to burn you, but to bless you. As we celebrate the 10 days of prayer, allow me also to say this point, that challenge is not meant to kill you, but to skill you. So when you come to 1 Samuel chapter 4, the Israelites went out to fight their enemies, the Philistines. And the Bible says they encamped beside Ebenezer, and the Philistines, they encamped in Apek. The word Apek, it means enclosure. So Ebenezer, it means the stone of help. So the Israelites, for the first time we are introduced to this battle. The Bible says they camped at Ebenezer. Now, the name Ebenezer, it means the stone of help. So the Israelites, they camped next to the place called Ebenezer, the stone of help. It's the right location. Camping at the right location does not mean God has approved it. So they camped at Ebenezer, and the Philistines, they encamped in Apek. Now, sleeping at the garage does not make you a car. So the Israelites, they camped at Ebenezer. Now, working at Eskom does not make you an electricity. So they camped near the stone of help without asking the help from God. So they camped at the right location. They camped at the right location, but facing the wrong direction. The movement of God. Don't fight the battle when God has not approved. Can I repeat that? Don't fight the battle when God has not approved that battle. Again, don't get involved in a relationship when there is no divine approval. The Israelites, they are camping. They are going to fight their enemies without asking the help from God. Allow me, friends, to be an evangelist. Don't accept the offer when God is not honored. Don't sign that contract or don't get involved in that business when God is not invited. Again, can I say this quickly, that as I apply this, the Bible says, so they encamped at Ebenezer and the enemies there in Apec. Now these are two nations, they are preparing to fight. Allow me, friends, to say, don't get involved when there is no assurance of God, of God's presence. Again, the Israelites, they arrange themselves to a battle without God's approval. This expedition was undertaken by the Israelites without the counsel from God. When you read, the Bible says, now they went to fight without asking God. Now when they went to fight without asking God, God allowed them to be defeated. Friends, can I pause and say, the holy nation was defeated. 4,000 men were killed. The large military units in Israel is smitten before the Philistines. Sin is the core, is the accused thing. It was in the camp that now they went to fight without asking the purification from their sins before they fight. You have the sons of Eli, Phinehas and Hophni, who were doing evil things in the temple. So they went to fight with also the men with the dirty hands. Can I quickly apply this? Never ever be in one company with people who are not approved by God, who are dirty in thoughts and in action. So the Israelites, they went, and Hophni and Phinehas also, they were there. The Bible says, now 4,000 men were killed by the Philistines. The devil will take an advantage if there is a committed sin that is not confessed. Can I say quickly this? That the devil will take an advantage because we have this, the sons of Eli that are in the midst of the army. Now the army is defeated because of two sons of Eli that were practicing evil in Israel. The Bible says whenever one comes into the church, into the temple, the sons of Eli, they were also sleeping with these women in the church. And the Bible says they went to fight without purification. And they were defeated before the face of the Philistines. Can I say something quickly here? That sometimes sins unconfessed are sins unforgiven. The reason why God is blessing the is not blessing his people. I want to say this. Can I allow the Spirit to say this? Yegela lento yenzayo. Can I say this again? The reason why there is no prosperity in your life, the reason why you are not growing spiritual. What am I trying to say here? The child that you are not taking care of is the one that is blocking the blessings. Can you say it? These hearts that you have broken, they are blocking the blessings to flow. The hearts that you have broken in your life, they are blocking the blessings. Can't you say anything? The Bible says now they went to fight without purifying themselves. And God allowed them to be defeated. Now, when they were defeated, they went back to the drawing board. Can I say this? They went back and said, God, why have we been defeated by the uncircumcised Philistines? Then they made a mistake. Now, the Bible says, now, when they asked the question, they became God and they replied their inquiry. Now they said, because God is not answering, let's just come up with the answer. Let's go to Shiloh and bring the Ark of the Covenant. Now it is not the Ark that fights for us. It is the owner. Making an object of worship, you are making a mistake in your life. We are not saved by the cross. We are saved by the one who was hanged at the cross. Can I repeat that? We are not saved by the cross. Doesn't save us. We are saved by Jesus, who was hanged at the cross of Calvary. So they made a mistake. They said, now the elders offer the sacrifice and inquired of the Lord, why has God defeated us today before our enemies? Now, they made a mistake. They said, let's go and fetch the ark of God. When they sent men to fetch the ark at Shiloh, guess what? The men who went to Shiloh to fetch the ark are the very same two boys that were not in Israel. I want to repeat, don't hang your holy things when you're unholy. Don't hang your holy things. You must first go to God and ask God to forgive your sins before you hang your holy things. Don't hang your holy things when you're unholy. Don't hang your holy things when you're not holy. That is the ultimate problem of the church today. So the Bible says, they said, let's bring the ark of God. The ultimate problem of the church today, that is the ultimate outrage of God's children today. The glory of God is not honored. The holiness of God is not reverenced. The greatness of God is not admired. The truth of God is not sought. The wisdom of God is not esteemed. The beauty of God is not treasured. That is the problem of the church today. The goodness of God, the faithfulness of God is not trusted. The commandments of God are not obeyed. The justice of God is not respected. The wrath of God is not feared. The grace of God is not cherished. The presence of God is not prized. The person of God is not loved. So they said, let's bring the ark of God from Shiloh. When the ark of God arrives, shouting without his presence is in vain. Singing without his presence is dangerous. Amplifying your voice does not validate his presence. So they shouted and said, the ark of God has arrived. Now the Bible said, when you read the Bible, they said, let's go and move God from the temple. This is the first time we see the ark of God moved by men to the battlefield. So when they picked the ark of God, they took it from the cherubims. They took the ark of the covenant to the battlefield. Now they were imitating the other nations, the nations around them. They said, it is the ark that will save us. Friends, we are not saved by the object. We are saved by the subject. The subject in this narrative is God. We are not saved by the ark. We are saved by the owner of the ark. We are not saved by the building. We are saved by the presence of God. When the members in the building, they serve God in truth and spirit. Now, Lupundwana, you can say that in the afternoon. We are not saved by the building. We are saved by his presence. When the presence of God, when God is honored by the members of the Christian church, then salvation will be realized. And can I say something quickly? They made a mistake. Salvation is not on the object, but the salvation is in the subject. God is the subject. Don't make an object of worship, worship. So when they brought the ark, they started singing. And the Philistines, they said, what is the meaning of that singing? Friends, God has moved. The movement of God. When the ark arrives, the Israelites are shouting without a relationship with the owner of the ark. Then the enemies on the other side, they said, what is the meaning of this shouting? Then they said to one another, it is because the ark of God, there is a movement of God from Shiloh, the God who was leading the Israelites, now has arrived in the battlefield. And they said, it is for the first time. Can I say this point again? If you don't testify about your God, your enemies will testify. The Philistines are saying, this is the God we heard about in the wilderness. that this is the one that destroyed the Egyptians, and we heard about this God. This is the God who struck the Egyptians with plagues. They said now, when they were testifying, the Israelites are not appreciating God's presence. Can I say this point again? If you don't appreciate his presence, you'll be forced to appreciate his absence. If you don't appreciate the presence of God in your life, you'll be forced to appreciate his absence. When they were fighting and the ark of God was right there, Lupondwan, I feel like preaching now. When they were fighting, the ark of the covenant, the Shekinah glory is lying down there. They were fighting and the Bible says, now 30,000 men were killed in the presence of the ark. If you don't appreciate his presence, you'll be forced to appreciate his absence. When they were fighting, 30,000 men were killed and the ark of God was captured. So God reduced his power. As if God is powerless. Friends, when they moved God, they did not ask him to say, can we move their presence to the battlefield? When God was in the battlefield, God reduced his power so that he may teach his nation that we are not saved by the ark, we are saved by the owner. The Bible says the ark of God was captured. So the ark is captured. There is a man from Benjamin who runs to Eli. He says, can you give me the report? He says, yes, we fought with the enemies and we were defeated. 30,000 died, including Hophni and Phinehas. And the Bible says, when Eli heard of the report, he fell from his chair. Because he was an old man, he broke his neck and he died. And the Bible says, now the wife of Phinehas, who was highly pregnant, when she heard of the report of the dying of her husband, the Bible says she was immediately on labor pains. She delivered a child and she says the name of the child is Ichabod, because glory has departed. So the child was born because they moved God without making an inquiry. Never ever engage yourself in a relationship when God is not there. Why do you date someone when God has not approved? The Bible says when the ark was captured, they took it to the house of Dagon. So the ark of God, the presence of God, the power of God, the Shekinah glory, the ark of the covenant, they placed it in the house. They said, now we are going to send it to the house of Dagon. Who was Dagon? Dagon was a goddess of the Philistines. Dagon was a human being, right from the waist going up, is a human being. From the waist going back, is a tail of the fish. So he's not a mermaid, but is Dagon. So Dagon is a human being from the waist going up. Also, this Dagon has hands. And this Dagon, from the waist going back, is a fish. They place the ark of God in the house of a god called Dagon. So Dagon is neither he or she. So they place the god, the ark of the neutralizing the power, the hand of God. Neutralizing the hand of deliverance. Neutralizing the God of Israel. They place the ark in this house of Dagon. And the Bible says, when they were doing that, they were trying to say, your God Israel is neutral with our gods. He is neither he is neither she. When you address Dagon, you don't say he, you don't say she, you say it. So Dagon is neuter, is neutral. So Dagon is neither he, is like a table. The table is neither he or she, is it. So when the ark of God
was in the house of Dagon, the power of God then showed up. When the ark was in the house of Dagon, listen to this one carefully. The Bible says they woke up in the morning and Dagon is bowing down before the ark. If you don't appreciate his presence, you'll be forced to appreciate his absence. So in Israel, they don't have the Shekinah glory. They don't have his presence. The presence of God has moved to the land of the Philistines. Can I repeat that? In Israel, there is no presence of God. The presence of God is with the enemies. And the Bible says, when they woke up in the morning, Dagon is bowing down. You know why? God was saying, all the idols will bow before the God of the universe. The movement of God. Now, when the image of Dagon, when Dagon was bowing down before the ark, they said, What happened to our God or our goddess? Then they took Dagon, they placed it again on its spot. When they woke up the following day, Dagon is down, but this time hands are chopped, amputated. Why? God says, number one, all idols will bow before the God of the universe. Number two, Dagon has no hands this time. Why? Because Dagon cannot provide. There is only one provider. His name is God. So no hands, because your Dagon cannot provide. They said, what could be the meaning of this? They tried to join the hands again and also the tail again. For the third time, they woke up the third day. The head of Dagon is disconnected. God was saying, there is no life in your idols. Life is only found in Jesus. It is God who has life. Now, when they said that, they said, now we don't know what to do with all the pieces of our God. And the Bible says the hand of God began to torment the Philistines. The power of God. God was not powerless. When God was captured, he was not powerless. It is because he was not honored. And God allows himself to be captured. And the Bible says, they said, what are we going to do with the Ark of the Covenant? They said, let's move it from Ashdod. Let's move it now from Ashdod. We are sending it now to Ashkelon. We are sending it to the cities of the Philistines, five cities of the Philistines. So the Ark of God is moving to and fro. Number one, it went to Ashdod. It went to Gaza, Ashkelon, Gath and Ekron. Now, when the Ark of God was in five provinces, the Bible says the hand of God began to torment the enemies. God is fighting the enemies without the involvement of the Israelites. He is fighting for his name and for his identity. The Bible says they had balls all over the nation. All the five cities are infected by balls all over their bodies. And after, the Bible says, for 7 months, the Israelites are not enjoying his presence. Because the Ark of God is with the enemies. The movement of God. When for 7 months the Israelites are trying to pray, go see. Ego seni yezwa ogwa mugu nga we kulega gika gela. They cannot transfer their singing to the presence of God in the land of the Philistines. When they are trying to sing, they will stop without finishing the stanza, because the glory of God, the presence of God, has moved. See, the ark is still possessed the attribute of God's glory, the paradox of the providential pitfalls. God is not appreciated in Israel. Prayer is not appreciated in Israel.
The word is not appreciated in Israel. Music is not appreciated in Israel. Holiness is not appreciated. Reproof is not appreciated. Correction is not appreciated. Faithfulness is not appreciated. The ark triumphed over Dagon while it has moved from Israel. And again, thus the kingdom of Satan will certainly fall before the kingdom of Christ. Error will fall before the truth. Profaneness will fall before the glory, before the goodness of God. Corruption before grace in the hearts of the faithful. When Christ, the true ark of the covenant really enters in the heart of fallen men, which is the temple of Satan, all idols will fall. Sin will be forsaken and unrighteousness gained restored. The Lord will claim and possess the throne. But pride, self-love, worldly lust, dethroned and crucified. Don't leave the stamp. The Bible says, now when Dagon was chopped by his presence, the Bible says there was a stamp that was left. I want to say this afternoon to the church, to the church in Kempton Park. Don't leave the stamp. Don't leave any sin unconfessed. When you confess your sins, don't leave the stamp, because the Dagon might grow out of the stamp. Dagon had his face down on the ground. Dagon had its hands and head down on the ground. Then divine sabotage. They took it from all the five provinces when they were infected by the balls. Then they said, finally, what are we going to do with the Ark of the Covenant? Then the priest said, send it back to Israel. Then they said, how are we going to send this Ark back to Israel? Then the priest of the Philistine says, send it with guilt offering. We are moving now from Philistine back to Israel. Send it with guilty offering. What could be the guilt offering? The balls that are infecting you, you must make the balls of gold and place it on the chart. And also on the chart, you must put 5 reds of gold. Why reds? Because when you steal the holiness of God, you are a red. Can I repeat that? When you steal holy things, you are a red. The Philistines, they stole the presence of God. Now the 5 reds are representing the 5 lords of the Philistines who stole the presence of God. When the holiness was stolen by the Philistines, 5 reds are representing those that have stolen the glory. So place it on the chart and send it to Israel. How are we going to send it? You must take 2 female cows, lowing cows that have given birth to the calves. Separate the lowing cows from the calves and lay the yoke on their necks and let them pull the ark of God. If the cows are going straight to Israel, then we know that there is a movement of God. The Bible says, now when they did that, they took 2 lowing cows and they placed the chart and the yoke on their necks. They separated the calves from the lowing cows and the ark of the covenant was hooked on the 2 female cows. Then they left the province of the Philistines, going to Israel. They did not need passport. The glory of God was leading the cows. The movement of God. When the cows were going towards Israel, the Philistines, the Bible says, they stood on the mountains looking, observing the cows and the ark of God without any help. The cows, they went straight without any passport. They went to the border without any passport. They crossed without a passport. This is the power of God. When God says, if humanity are not respecting the presence of God, cows will.
animals will. They as they were pulling the chart, they crossed the border. And the Bible says the people of Beth Shemesh, they were harvesting the wheat. They were looking down on the ground. When they lifted up their eyes, they saw, come on now, they saw the ark of the Lord. They did not see the cows. Because the one who preaches the gospel must not be appreciated, but the one who is preaching, whom he is preaching. So sometimes we focus on the preacher, whereas we need to focus on God. The people of Beth Shemesh, they are saying, when we look up, we don't see the cows, we don't see the instrument, but we see the power of God. When we look at each other, sometimes we focus more on the preacher, whereas there is God that the preacher is propagating. Sometimes the word of God is not honored because we elevate the preacher more than the word. The Bible says, when they looked up, they saw the ark of God. They rejoiced. Friends, they rejoiced to see the ark of God. For 7 months, they said, the glory has come back to its place. They said, we cannot continue harvesting the wheat when the presence of God has arrived. They left their gain because of the presence. They said the wheat is not, we cannot focus on the wheat now. It's not a necessity now. The presence is the necessity. Let's go and meet and welcome the Ark of the Covenant. The Bible says, when they went there, they peeped through on the covenant, on the Ark, to see what is inside. The glory of God killed the men of Beth Shemesh for not respecting the presence. Sometimes we get used to the things of God. Sometimes we get used to worship God on his holy Sabbath. Sometimes we get used to all the beautiful things that God has done for us. Sometimes we get used to the holiness of God. When they were looking at the Shekinah glory, the Bible says the presence of God killed also quite a number of men in Israel for not respecting the presence. Friends, the Ark of God came to the place at Beth Shemesh, and the king, the Bible says, Samuel, or the prophet, heard that the Ark has arrived. Then he says, people of Beth Shemesh, we need an atonement before we even touch the holy things. Then they took the 2 cows and made the sacrifice, and God was welcomed back after 7 months. If you don't appreciate the presence of God, God will leave. You will appreciate his absence. When you are empty, the question is God honored in your heart? When you are not fulfilled, are you elevating God in your life? Are you glorifying God? Are you exalting God in your life? I want to submit this afternoon. The movement of God has to do with our holiness. When God says, I am moving to your space, we must welcome holiness. We must be holy because our Father in heaven is holy. After 10 days, there are some things that we need to declutter. There are some things that we must get rid of. We can't fast and pray for 10 days and we remain the same after 10 days. I want to announce, friends, the glory of God has arrived. As we start the new year, let's welcome the holiness. For 7 months, they had no privilege to sing about his goodness. But when the ark came, they said, now we are ready to move with God. From that day, I want to submit to somebody this afternoon that the God we are serving has not lost even his attribute. He is still holy, and he wants us to be holy. Be holy, for your Father in heaven is holy. After 10 days, friends, let's go back and say, did we declutter other things that we used to do? Let's declutter all the gossip. Let's declutter all the malice and anger. Let's declutter the things that are not growing us. as we move with God. Friends, the movement of God has to do with your holiness. May the Lord be with us. May the Lord encapsulate us in the palm of his hand as we are preparing to start this year. The next 11 months, we have laid the foundation. We move with God. The movement of God in Kempton Park, it says, God must be honored. In our homes, at church, sometimes we get used to the things of God. Sometimes we don't even appreciate his presence. But this afternoon, if you don't appreciate his presence, you'll be forced to appreciate his absence. The time is near when we shall be deprived of worshiping God. Our worship should be a preparation of the time to come. Because we shall be deprived even to worship in these buildings. And I love the program this afternoon. We are not saved by the building. We are saved by the God that we are worshiping in the building. The time is coming that when we shall be under the trees, when we shall be leaving this place of worship, the 10 days of prayer is the foundation of what we must prepare. Prepare for the future crisis. Prepare for what will come in the future. The foundation has been laid. Let's appreciate his presence. May the Lord bless us. Amen.